Mary Carr is the author of three riveting memoirs, The Liars Club, Cherry, and Lit. Her latest book, The Art of Memoir, is a look at the inspirations and observations behind a good memoir. Contributor David Lee was especially taken by one chapter titled Sacred Carnality and its surprising connection to food.
Mary, welcome to the show.
David, I'm so glad to be here.
And congratulations on the book. It's terrific. It's as much a memoir as it is a masterclass on memoir.
Oh, that's so nice. You know what I've been telling people is I hope it helps make everybody a better reader, not just of memoirs and not just of books, but of their own memories, their own lives, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think it will do that. And there's one chapter in the book, I think, that it exploded for me. And I think it will for a lot of our listeners, too. And it's called Sacred Carnality. Now, talk to us about what sacred carnality means.
Well, carne is from meat, obviously, in Latin. So we are such sacks of meat.
Yes.
And those of us who like an animal or two on the plate, you know, are also carnivores. But no, I mean, people assume carnal. When I say the writing should be carnal, they assume it means it should be about, you know.
Right,
sex and drugs and rock and roll. But no, I mean that you should physically occupy your body and your memories. That's always been the nature of my memory, is very physical or very bodily.
And very sensate, all the senses.
Yeah, like what you can smell and touch and taste. And for me, smell and taste are especially powerful emotionally. So, and then I had a friend who's a neurologist say that it's the oldest sense, that the primary sense
is smell.
Is smell.
Yes.
That animals, you know, can smell changes in territory. But like even one-celled amoeba who have no brain stems can smell. And so much feeling attached to it, right?
Which applies so much to food and in the food writing. What does carnality, sacred carnality, do for the reader when you put it down on the page well?
Well, I think that a memoirist or any writer, really, as I say in the preface, you know, this... A lot of what I say about memoir applies to writing fiction or poetry or parole board pleas or marriage proposals. So I think the writer's body should act as an avatar for the reader, that the reader kind of gets zipped into the writer's skin.
That's
in a
great
way.
Line from the book. Yes.
Well, Nabokov has a great line, even better line, of course, because he's Nabokov, which is, you know, that the skull is a space traveler's helmet. So... You know, sort of, it is, right? Our memories take us out of time, and especially in regard to smell and taste and food.
In the beginning of the book, you talk about how smelling, I believe it was curry, can just zoom you back to a childhood memory.
Well, it's like, I think I say something like, you know, you're a grown woman, and then you get a whiff of your dad's curry, and suddenly the whole door to the past
blows right open.
Have you ever just walked into some place that smelled like your mother's house?
Yes. Yes.
And it's how astonished you are by how viscerally, like in your belly and all over your body, you react to that.
So. Well, it happened to me when my husband was making a cake. The very first time he made a cake, he said, "You want to lick the bowl?" And I was thin and beautiful and young back then. And I thought, well, maybe I will. And I licked it and I zoomed back to my grandmother baking. I mean, suddenly this whole part of my grandmother became very alive, very
it's carnate. Very alive, and you're like, all of a sudden you're in it, right? You're living that. And we all have those experiences.
So here you are, a woman, you're sitting at your desk, at your computer, and suddenly you want to write about your sister making squirrel gumbo. How do you wriggle back through that wormhole in time to be able to remember those moments, those senses, those smells, those tastes, to be able to get them onto the page so we can be zipped into your body?
That's how I remember. That's just the nature. But I mean, memory is many things, right? It ricochets around like a pinball. I mean, it's language and it's image and it's story and it's scene and it's sense impressions. I think I have a lot of physical sense impressions. I mean, I probably would have been like a massage therapist or something if I hadn't been a writer. I'm just a body person. It's just how I am.
Very somatic. So now, speaking of squirrel gumbo.
Yes,
As you do frequently. Would you please read that section from The Liars Club about your sister making squirrel gumbo?
My sister had a recipe for a black and garlicky roux that a Cajun neighbor lady had taught her. One whiff of that gumbo will make some gland draw up in the back of your throat and ache. Yankee gumbos are full of tomatoes and okra and all manner of pussyfied spices. But that game gumbo my sister fixed, made with squirrel or duck or deer sausage, came together out of nothing quite so pretty. Instead, it was mixed up from things you cannot live without, lard and flour and onion. It was a thin, black, elemental soup that opened your sinuses from three kinds of pepper and left you tasting garlic and sassafras root for days after. Grandma said just the smell of the roux browning made her want to hork. She took Mother out for shrimp remoulade at Al's Seafood. Shrimp remoulade, I might explain here, was my grandma's moral antidote to all those little split-up squirrel carcasses dismantled and frying in fat. The shrimp are blanched pink, peeled and deveined, then hooked over the side of a Sunday dish like the legs of so many young girls hanging over the edge of a swimming pool. The Sunday dish may get piled up with shredded lettuce in the middle just for show. The remoulade sauce is an extra lemony kind of mayonnaise that has the muted luster of good pearls.
That is wonderful. Mary, it has been a pleasure. Thank you for sharing some of your thoughts on taste and on smell, and congratulations with the book.
Thank you, David, for having me.
Mary Carr is author of The Art of Memoir. David Leet is publisher of Leet's Culinaria, lccooks.com.